Okay, it is about 2 o'clock, so welcome back. I would like to introduce your SI leader, Dee Dee. That's SI stands for Supplemental Instruction. She's here to help you out. Dee Dee?
Like Professor mentioned, I will be your SIU for this semester. My name is Dee Dee. Do most of you guys know what SI is? Yes? Yeah, okay. Well, just a brief, covering those who kind of don't know, a bit about SI. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be attending classes every Tuesday. I'll be sitting in, that way I know what your professor will be covering. I will be holding SI sessions, and we can review whatever your professor went over. Now, during those essay sessions, we can go over exams. I can help you with any questions that you have on your homework, anything related to this class, all right? A little data. Those who attend SI tend to have a 0.5...
0.5 higher GPA?
Average, thank you. 0.5 average higher than those who don't. Alright, so let's say we have a 78 in this class, and you, when you're starting for that B, if you attend SI, you'll more than likely go over and get that B. Alright, so it does show that SI does help. Alright, and another way you can see me as, I'm kind of like the guide to help you throughout this entire semester. Alright, so if you have any questions, you can go ahead and come to me, and of course, also to your professor. SI sessions, they will be held on Wednesdays. Sessions will take place on Wednesdays from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. and they'll be at the ULC Coward Hall 205. Alright, so it'll be the building right across. If you're unable to attend this time, you can go ahead and just go and get tutored. There are other business math tutors there as well. Now I'm going to go ahead and see how this time goes. If I see a lot of people showing up around this time, I'll go ahead and keep it. But if I see that there's not as much as attendance, I'll see if I can find a different time for you guys. All right. Any questions? Yes.
Will you be going like a review before
that? Yes, I will be going. I'll be working with the professor to see if I can find a review, like create a review before your before the exams.
Our first exam is on the Thursday before spring break. So, for example, if at that SI session on the Wednesday, maybe she'll do a big review then.
Right. Yeah.
You said that did you say you'll be taking up notes or?
Yes, like I'll be attending class every Tuesday, so you'll see me on here. I'll be taking notes about whatever your professor's going over, and I'll try and I go over whatever we went over that day, or if you have any questions. Yes.
When will be the first Wednesday for the
previous? Tuesday, right? Starting tomorrow. All right. Any questions? No? Okay. All right, well, I look forward to working with you guys, okay?
Can you put your email address up there?
Oh, yes, of course. That's right, thank you.
Yeah. And your name?
Yes. My email? If you have any questions, you can go ahead and email me at deidre.garcia@tamu.edu. And my name, what was it? I go by Dee Dee. I don't go by Dee Dee. But okay.
Deidre. Dot Garcia.
Alright, so go ahead and email me if you have any questions over this. Alright? Any other questions? No?
Okay. Thank you, Dee Dee. Okay, so let me summarize what we got up to last time. So we had this idea. We're going to use slightly different letters this time. The context is we have this kind of a variable that's an input. Like last time, the input was a length and the output was the area of a square. Okay, so let's a common choice of letters is x equals your input, and then y is a function of x, which is your output. Okay, so this function is some kind of machine. Maybe it's determined by a formula, right? That turns the input number x into an output number y. Okay. And in that context, we have differentials, right? So if you see a d before a box, this is it's an approximate change of whatever's in the box, right? Sometimes the approximation is perfect, sometimes it's not. Okay? If I write the Greek letter delta, right, so triangle, right, this is the exact change of whatever's in the box, okay? And the idea in this context is that the input, like last time that was the length of a square, we think of that as something we know exactly. So we use a perfect approximation for that. So the approximate change and the exact change are the same. Okay. Now, the idea here is, you know, in general, sure, you can compute the exact change, right? If you have a function, so you take, you know, the idea is you take x and change it by this amount delta x, okay, and then you compare that to what happens if you don't change x, and that's the exact change in y. Yeah. An approximation can be perfect. Okay? If I told you that the length of something was exactly 5 meters, there's no reason for you to use any approximation other than 5 meters. Right? Okay? And remember that. So this will be the dx there. That's the same thing in this context, right? All right. Let's see. Bring this up a little higher. Okay. So. Last time we did a square. Let's do a square root this time, okay? So f is the square root function, okay? And so eg means, for example, okay, so example, x is 4. We're going to change x by minus 0.1, okay? Y is the square root of x. Now I'm asking, how does y change, right? In other words, how does the square root of x change if I drop x down from 4 to 3.9? Okay? So 4 plus negative 0.1, that's where I'm getting a 3.9 from. That's the exact change. You probably know the square root of 4 is 2. No surprise there. Okay. Now, you could, if you're curious, you know, you can get something.
So we decreased x. You probably expect the square root to decrease a little bit. And it does. Negative 0.02515, etc.
Okay. Now,
what about these approximate changes?
The approximate changes need to be good in a certain sense, right? Okay.
So
I know an approximation formula for the square root, for changes in square roots. Here it is. Don't ask me how I got it. I'll tell you that some other time. But I claim that that this is a great approximating formula for changes in square roots. Right? And over here, you can check it if you want, right? Let's see how it turns out. Dy is, okay, the dx is the same as the delta x, negative 0.1, divided by 2 times the square root of 4. Okay, so 2 times a square root of 4 is 2 times 2. Okay. So we're just going to divide 0.1, well, negative 0.1 by 4. So you're going to get negative 0.025. That's not that bad, right? Okay, it doesn't get all the stuff after the 0.025, but got the first three decimal places, right? That's the informal sense in which it's good. When I write something like this, I actually am asserting a specific kind of goodness. And that's what we talked about at the end of our last class, right?
So this thing here means that if you take the exact change, delta y, subtract off your approximation, right? So this would be the error in your approximation of the change of y. Then this will be small, and it'll be so small that even if you divide it by the possibly very small delta x, right, which is the same as dx, even this fraction should still be small. So the error, the numerator there, should be small even compared to the denominator dx. And more precisely, this should approach zero as dx approaches zero. Okay? That's the requirement. So that if you make the change in x small, then the error in our approximation should be smaller, right? You make dx small, then this numerator is supposed to be very small, so that this fraction will be small too. Okay? So when dx is small, this error here in the numerator is smaller, much smaller. Okay? Now there's another way to write this that we didn't talk about last time, but it's another way of looking at it that I find very helpful. Okay. So the other way of thinking about it is you think about it as think about it like this. You think of delta y as equaling, so factor out the dx, okay? So I guess first write it as delta y, or not delta y, dy plus the error. But then I'm going to factor out the dx part, okay? So we have the exact change is equal to the approximation plus an error, and the dx factored out. And then if you look over here, this just becomes a formula. And I'm just going to call this error, I'm just going to make up a letter for it, epsilon, okay? Okay? And so that epsilon is exactly this ratio up here. Okay. So I could go ahead and put that in. Okay. That's what I mean by the epsilon. It's that fraction there. So you can think of the exact change as being your multiple of the dx, in this case 1 over 2 root x, plus this little kind of error term, that fraction. Okay. So the epsilon goes to 0, means it gets smaller and smaller as the dx gets smaller and smaller. Okay. And it turns out that all of these differentials, they're always written this way. Whenever you have one input variable and one output variable, we always write it as a multiple of dx, right? Okay. Remember, the ones that start with a little d, those are the differentials, right? It's always of the form something that depends on x times a dx, okay? Some function of x. Okay? And so when I write something like this, what I mean is that this is an approximation of the total change, right? That's very good in this kind of sense here. The actual change is given by gx plus some little error fraction, epsilon, times the change in x. And that little error fraction goes to 0 as dx goes to 0. So if you make the change in x really small, then this little error fraction should get really small too. So that this other function here times your change in x is a very good approximation, right? So I claim that, you know, that's the function you want to use. Alright? Okay? For approximating changes in square roots. Okay? And you'll also see this written another way. People will write it as a fraction. Right? They'll write it that way. Same thing. Okay? But it's not just a simple equation of gx times dx equals dy, or dy divided by dx equals gy. It's saying that the dy is a very good approximation in that sense. Okay. Continuing with the square root example, right? If we have x equals 4 and the dx, the change in x, is negative 0.1 like above, right? Then that error fraction epsilon, we can compute exactly what it is, right? It's going to be the exact change, the negative 0.025, 1.5, etc., minus the approximant, right? So negative 0.025, 1.5, blah, 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 minus negative 0.025, and then divided by the change in x, the minus 0.1. Okay. So there's going to be some cancellation, and you'll be left with 0.00015 something, something, something. And then you divide it by a negative 0.1, which is the same as multiplying it by negative 10, so it'll move the decimal point over. So you'll get positive 0.00 1-5 something something, right?
This is an instance of how when you make the change in x small enough, this approximation formula of the exact change in the square root, using this, you know, dx over 2 root x, actually gives you a very small error, and the error is small even when you divide by a small dx. So the error fraction there is small. Anybody want to ask a question, make a comment?
So to get the fat example of when x is equal to 4, the change of x is equal to negative 1, when you input those into those two top two formulas, you get the result of epsilon equaling to
The epsilon is the fraction, right? It's this fraction here, right? Exact change minus approximate change of outputs divided by change in inputs. Okay. And after I simplified, the fraction comes to be positive 0.0015 something. Okay. Yes.
With that fraction, that formula, is that just to check the error, but that, like, to find the final answer? That's just to...
The epsilon fraction? Yeah. It's a measurement of how good our approximation is.
And just to show us how close we were to the...
Yeah. The idea is you don't want an approximation that kind of cheats. I mean, if you have a tiny change in the inputs, then of course you expect a tiny change in the outputs, in which case you kind of cheat by saying, I'm always going to approximate the change in outputs is zero, right? And then if you have a small change in inputs, your change in outputs will be close to zero. But that's cheating, and it's not very helpful. What you want is something that is good, a small error even compared to the change in inputs. So you want the error, right? In this case, the error in the approximation of outputs is the numerator. You want the error to be small compared to the change in inputs. Yeah.
So let's say that the negative 0.1 was greater than 0.
Okay. We should do another example. I agree, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, so what do you want the base value of x to be? 4 again or something else? Okay. Okay, positive 0.1? Yeah, all right. Okay. So the exact change using this setup here will just be, okay, so we're going to have 4, the base value of x plus the change of 0.1 minus the square root at the base value of x, right? Okay. Square root of 4.1 minus 2. I can ask my calculator to give me an exact on that. Out to, you know, I don't know, 12 or 15 decimal place, 12 decimal places, yeah. Okay. 0.02484, etc. We're doing approximations, so, you know, beyond a certain number of decimal points, you know, there's not much point in going further, right? You'll see that the approximation is good. Okay? Now, I've asserted this magic formula, dy is d, is dx over 2 root x, which you're kind of having to take on faith, slowly strengthened by growing numerical evidence that this really is a good approximation, right? Okay. Positive 0.1 divided by 2 times the square root of 4. Okay. So like before, it's going to be positive 0.1 divided by 2 times 2. So this time it's positive 0.025. Right? That's a multiplication, none of this. Yeah. Okay. What's the difference between these two? Right? So I mean, there's kind of the error in approximating the outputs, right? Take the exact minus that thing. Right. And okay, so here we were getting like a positive number, which means our approximation was an overestimate. This time we're getting a negative number that indicates our approximation is an underestimate. Negative 0.0154 and so on. No, I'm missing some zeros there. More zeros. It's 0.000154. So that's kind of the absolute size of the error in approximating the change in the square root as we go from square root of 4 to square root of 4.1, right? Our approximation says it should increase by 0.025, but it actually only increased by 0.02485. Right? So that's the absolute size of the error. Pretty small, right? The kind of relative error where you want to show that it's small even as a fraction of dx, right? Okay. So here we need to take this and divide it by our 0.1, right? This time the change was positive 0.1. So that's just going to multiply this by 10. So we're going to get negative 0.00154. And then some other digits that I'm not terribly interested in. The point is it's small. Okay? Even as a fraction of the dx. And the relationship, and another way of writing this relationship is that the exact change is equal to that 1 over 2 root x plus that error fraction all times the change in x, right? Other questions or comments?
So basically, for the change in output here, what you do to get the difference in the change of output is the difference change of output minus the regular. How is that the change of output right on the top right here?
I change x from 4 to 4 plus a 0.1. Okay? And then I see how do the square roots change, right? So the standard way of defining the change is you take the new value minus the old value. Okay, so you should think of 4 as the old value, add the 0.1 to get the new value. So you have old and new x, take square roots to get the old and new y, because we define the relation between x and y as y is squared of x. Other questions, comments? Yeah.
So is the y equals the square root of x, which is y equals x?
Yeah.
The equation will be the same, you just take out the square root of x and have it.
You want to have the relation y equals x?
Yeah, it's like the right here.
Okay. Well, if we have the relation y equals x, then yeah, the differential can be very simple. It'll just be dy equals dx. And it'll be a perfect approximation, right? Yeah. So I can talk more about that, but I need to take some photographs and then erase some stuff first. So I think that's board number 1, board number 2, board number 3. Okay, so. You have a question?
What's the final answer? Four third.
What was the question?
We were finding.
Don't think of it as like question and answer. Think of it as I just told you a story. Okay. So I was asked, what about if y equals x, right? if y is the same as x, then there's nothing to do. Okay? Right? It's perfect, right? Another way of writing this is, another way of saying the same thing here is that dy divided by dx is just 1. Right? And you can check this, right? It's perfect. You write delta y, the exact change, is equal to 1. Right? All right, another way of thinking about this is, dy equals 1 times dx. Okay? It's 1 plus 0 times delta x all the time. Right? This is that error fraction. All right? The error is always 0 here. There's nothing to do. Okay.
The epsilon error fraction will be 0. There's a similar case. Right?
What if y is equal to 5x?
We can still get it exact. Okay.
There's no need to make an approximation at all, right? Just take the change in x and multiply it by 5, okay? And that will give you the exact change in y, okay?
Right, if you're multiplying by a constant. This was a special case where we multiplied by the constant 1. Right? Whenever you're multiplying by a constant, you don't need to give up anything in your approximation. It's already perfect. Right? Yeah. Here the equation would be, in terms of that epsilon error fraction, it would just be 5 plus a 0. That's the epsilon times the delta x. Right? It's perfect. Nothing to change. If x starts out at 3... and I add a 0.1 to it, then y is going to have to change from 15 to 15.5, right? Yeah. It's exact. No need for a change, right? If it's a constant multiple, everything's great. Okay. There's no point in all this fancy approximation business. It's stuff like square roots or squares or cubes. That's where an approximation could actually help. Okay. Any questions or comments about this? So there's actually a general rule we can make out of this. Right? It's called the constant multiple rule. Right? If C is a constant, like 5, negative 7, whatever, something that doesn't depend on your variables, okay? All right? And now let's say I have... a relationship like this. Let's say I have, z is a constant multiple of y, and maybe y depends on x, right? And I have a differential formula for y, right? Something times a dx, right? Okay? Well, I'm going to use my approximation for changes in y to get me an approximation for changes in z. If z is, say, 5 times as big as y, then my approximate change in z should be just 5 times as big as my approximate change in y. Okay? And what'll happen to the errors? Well, the errors will get 5 times as big, but... that's okay. If you make the input error
x smaller, right? Eventually, if dx is really close to zero, the error fraction for the dy will be close to zero, and the dz error fraction will be, well, not quite as close to zero, but only five times as far away. Maybe the error fraction, the epsilon for the dz is, 0.00005. Okay, not quite as good as the 0.00001 for the dy, but still. If the dy error fraction approaches zero, you multiply that by five, and you'll still get something that approaches zero. So this will be a good approximation in our error fraction goes to zero sense. So constant multiples are easy to handle. So let's do an example of using that rule. I'm going to bring it up. And approximate 3 times the square root of 1,002 without a calculator. Okay? I'm going to use that square root rule that I gave you. Okay? So we're going to think of it like this. We're going to think of it in 3 steps. Z is 3 times y, and y is the square root of x. Okay? So to approximate a change in z, we use 3 times an approximate change in y. And we use that rule I gave you. I didn't tell you where I got it from, but you're starting to trust me that it's actually a good rule based on the numbers.
Sir?
Yeah?
Was that given, the 3y in the square root, or was that taken from the 3 square root of the
I'm thinking about the structure of this expression. Why don't I make it? It's going to be better if I make it 10,002.
Sure.
Because I want it to be a nice whole number, close to a whole number. Otherwise, it's not really fair to ask you to do it without a calculator. It won't be a very good approximation. We're going to get a great approximation on this because 10,002 is not a perfect square, but it's really close to one. We're going to get an awesome approximation. All right? So it's the structure of this expression. You can get it in 2 steps. You start with the 10,002, then you take the square root, then you multiply by 3. So my variables mirror that structure. I go from x to y by taking a square root, and I go from y to z by multiplying by 3. So it's just based on the order of operations here. First, you take the square root, then you multiply. So I did the same thing here. You kind of have to read it from right to left, okay? It's like the data flows this way. That's an unfortunate tradition we're stuck with functional notations. You write the function, as kind of f of x, not xf. It's always fx, right? So the input flows to the left, right? Input to output goes that way, right? If you think of how you compute this, you take a square root, then you multiply by 3. If you read my writing from right to left, that's what I'm doing. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so Okay, so we're going to have a base value of a perfect square, of course, 10,000. It's 100 squared. Okay. So then from our base value, we're going to get just 100. And then z is going to be 300. But, you know. Okay. And so what we're going to do to estimate this is, we're going to have to take the 300, and we're going to need to add a delta z, right? Okay. So let's put in some changes. Okay, so there's going to be an exact change of 2 in x, but we're not going to try to figure out the exact change in y or the exact change in z, because I said do it without a calculator. And, if you've tried to extract square roots on paper, no, you don't want to go there. Okay? Okay, so plug into the dy formula. 2 over 2 times square root of the 10,000, which is 100. Okay? Look at the dz then. Well, that's easy. It's just 3 times dy. 0.03. Okay, so answer. Right, this isn't actually a problem and answer thing, problem and solution thing. Right. So the change is going to be, it's approximately, we know the exact number would be z, plus the exact change in z, because this is, the base value is 3 times the square root of 10,000. We're making a little change where we bring up x to 2, and that changes z. But we're only approximating what that change is, okay? So we're just going to add 0.03. Okay. That's our approximation without a calculator. Alright? Anybody care to tell me what their calculator says the exact answer is? See how good we did. If I plug in x equals a perfect square, I can compute a value of z without a calculator, 300. Okay? Now I need to change x a little bit to get to what I want. And the question is, okay, if I change x, how is z going to change? Well, I can't tell you exactly, although I could give you many decimal places with a calculator. If you don't care about all the decimal places, if you just want a decent approximation, use these differentials, as they're called. And these formulas, which I just used right there, gave me some approximate numbers. And it turned out the change was 0.03, so I added the change to my base value, or old value if you want to think of it. So this is the exact old values. These are the approximate changes as we go from old to new values. So you add the approximate change, you get an approximate new value. My calculator tells me we've solved the problem, but if you're curious what, you know, what a calculator says, you know, about the exact answer, it's 300.0299985. And that's all the digits my calculator gave me.
Okay. So, it's a very good approximation. Okay.
If you like looking at the exact stuff, you know, the exact delta C was 0.02999985, you know, et cetera. So the epsilon fraction, our measurement of how good this was, that would be the delta Z minus the DZ over the delta X, right? Same as DX, right? You know, that's going to be teeny tiny.
Right. Even compared to DX, the error is so small. Right? It's
not even worth writing in with all the decimal notation. I'm just going to write with scientific notation. It's about times 10 to the minus 7, right? The error in our approximation of the final output Z is less than a millionth the size of how much we changed X.
Okay. Yeah?
Can I put that backwards? I hope I'm getting it right here. It's supposed to be that.
Yeah, I got it. It's just the way it's defined. You take approximation minus actual. Yeah, that's...
Maybe I got that backwards. That's my fault. I'm not super interested in the sign so much as I'm interested in the size. You know.
Point is that the... Am I saying that right? I hope I'm saying that right. All right, let me hold on here. I think... No, I was right the first time.
If you're doing the epsilon fraction, you've got to have the... You're taking the approximation plus actual minus. So I was right the first time.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, sorry, lost confidence there. I was right the first time.
Don't freak out.
So it's still negative?
Yeah, it's still negative.
Yeah. Okay. It's a little weird. Given the way you write the epsilon fraction inside the parentheses there, you want it to be this way, which...
Because you need to make it add up, right? Okay. Sorry about that. It's okay. Okay, so I've told you some rules. The constant multiple rule. I told you a square root rule.
Last time I told you about a squaring rule. Okay, so we need... Let me tell you another...
Some other rules. They're a little more powerful now. Okay? So we can put together some stuff. All right, so another big rule is the product rule. So I think now board comes next. Down into this board now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to draw a picture similar to a picture we had last time. All right. So let's say I have two things, U and V, and they're both functions of X. Okay. Maybe the functions are P and Q. Okay. Now I want to put these together into a product. E.g., maybe U is X squared, and so the differential rule for that was 2X dx, and maybe V is the square root of X, and the differential rule for that is dx over 2 root X. Okay? And then I'm going to put them together by multiplying. So Y is going to be X squared times the square root of X, which you might, if you like, fractional powers, you could write it that way. Okay. And so, the idea is, I want to be able to take, if I know ways to approximate changes in U and V, how do I approximate changes in the product of U and V? Okay. So the picture is, you think of it as a rectangle, okay? Maybe U, V, and then let's imagine we have a little positive change, VU, in the width. That changes the rectangle like that, but you could also have a little positive change, DV, in the height, okay? Now, the geometric intuition for this is that if the dv and the du are small, okay, then these two rectangles, the skinny rectangles here and here, are going to be a lot bigger than that little rectangle there. Okay. So the idea is that take this term. So you have the uv, that's the base value of the product. Up here you have UDV, here you have V times DU. The idea is, don't worry about that tiny DU times DV. Forget it. Okay? Okay? We're just trying to get a good approximation here in our, error fraction going to 0 cents. And you will do just fine if you use this product rule, okay? All right. That will satisfy our error fraction going to zero requirements, okay? This is kind of the geometric motivation. If you really want to go through an algebraic proof, it can be done, but I'll spare you that in class at least, all right? Come talk to me if you want to see me prove this rule. Right. You can do it in my office. That's the product rule. So now, in my example here, I know now how to approximate a change in x to the 5/2 power here. It's going to be using these rules here. Okay, u is x squared. What's my dv? It's dx over 2 root x. Okay, that's the UDV term. V is square root of x. And then DU is 2x dx. Okay. Now there's an interesting thing.
if you simplify this, first of all, you can factor out a dx. Second of all, over here, you have x to the second power times x to the negative 1/2 power. So this is actually x to the 3/2 power. But there's a factor of a still 1/2 lurking about. So if you remember your rules for exponents and fractions, you can simplify this. And then what do we have over here? We have the same thing, x to the 1/2 times x to the 1. So we're going to have 2 times x to the 3/2. So you can simplify this whole thing to 5/2 times x to the 3/2 times dx. Okay? Okay. A lot of algebra there, but this is actually, there's actually a general rule here. Okay? For any real number, or I should say for any constant, for any real constant, say A, okay? If y is equal to just say x to the A, then dy is equal to a times x to the a minus 1. Okay? And this is an example where a is 5/2. See, 5/2 and then 5/2 minus 1 is 3/2. We need the dx on there. This is called the power rule. Okay? And you can even see it as a special case with the square root thing. Right? What happens in the square root thing? If you make the square root is the 1/2 power, make the a a 1/2. So then down here you have a 1/2, and then what's that? 1/2 minus 1, negative 1/2. And that matches our rule here. We've got a half, and then a reciprocal of the square root of x. That's a negative 1/2 power. Okay.
So then how you found the du opposed?
I remember it as a special case. Yeah. You can just memorize this power rule, and then yes, this is another special case of that. With a equals 2, you get the a becomes a 2, and then 2 minus 1 is 1. X to the 1 is just x. So yeah. You don't have to memorize all of those rules, like about square, cube, square root. You can, they're all special cases of a power rule. Okay. And if you want to come to my office, I can try and prove some of the power rules to you, or you can try it out with some numbers and convince yourself numerically that's probably true. Okay. So I think it's time to take some more pictures. Let's see what comes next. Bottom board comes next. So let me swap these. Yeah? No, it doesn't come next. Sorry, just this one comes next. I'm trying to do them in order. Okay, let me get this one.
Thank you. other questions or comments?
It's not this d of x over 2 is forward. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the derivative rules.
This is closely connected to the derivative rules. Okay? dy divided by dx. That's a derivative. I wasn't planning to talk about derivatives yet, but if you just do the dy divided by the dx, that's in the derivative. When you multiply both sides by the dx, then you have differentials. The ratio of the differentials, that's what's called a derivative. Yeah. So if you've seen derivatives before, then you know
this shouldn't be new, right? Just think of dy divided by dx. That's a derivative. Okay. So all right. Okay, I'm gonna erase this and then. Let me summarize the rules now in a very compact form. Okay. Okay. So if A is constant, here are the rules we have. If you have the differential of something, of a constant multiple of something, you can pull out the constant. If you have a differential of anything to a power, then you have the power rule. Okay? If you have a product of two things, then you have the product rule.
But the first one's a constant?
Yeah. The A, everywhere I'm using an A here, it has to be a constant. If the A is changing, then the rules could be a lot more complicated. We're not, okay? This is constant multiple, this is constant power. Like, A is 5, here if A is 5, that's a fifth power. Right? So, constant multiple rule. Power rule, product rule. One other rule, this should be obvious, if you add two things, the way to approximate the changes is to just add the approximate changes. Okay, that's called the sum rule. Okay? So, with all these rules, you can do any kind of polynomial, okay? So like, here's an example. What if I want the differential of 5x to the 7th minus 3x to the 4th plus x minus 8, okay? First, I think of it as a sum. It's 5x to the 7th plus negative 3x to the 4th plus x plus negative 8. So I break it up. Okay. Okay. Negative 8 is a constant, right? So constants don't change at all. So if you want, I can make that just another rule. The differential of a constant is just zero, right? Constants don't change, right? Yeah. That's kind of obvious from the meaning of what we're doing. We're talking about approximating changes, but a constant will not change, right? So we will approximate its change as zero. Can't do any better than that. Now I use the constant multiple rule. Okay. Now I use the power rule. You can factor out a dx. So the differential of this polynomial is 35x to the 6th minus 12x cubed plus 1 all times dx. I just use the rules methodically. For a polynomial, first you use the sum rule, then you use the constant multiple rule to factor out your coefficients, then you have to use the power rule to actually understand how to approximate changes in powers. Okay? Let's see. Let me show you another one. Here. Any questions about this board? Okay, let me show you another one. The differential of this. Okay? Yes, you could expand the cube and expand the square. You do not want to do that. The easier way is to use the product rule. Okay? Product rule. Says, remember, think of this as u times v, so we're going to have u dv plus v du. Okay? Okay, well, okay, I'm not done yet, right? All right, now I need to use a power rule. So the power rule says you multiply by that the power, subtract 1, and then times the differential of the thing you were taking a power of. In this case, x minus 3. Yeah. And then here we have to use the power rule again. Okay. Power rule again, and times the differential of the thing power. Yeah. So there, so see, I'm just using the rules. The first rule I used was my product rule. Okay? Then I used, then to simplify those differentials, I used a power rule. Okay? Go a little further. And we need to do that one. Well, that's not too hard. That's actually a sum rule, right? Dx plus d of minus 3. A constant has differential 0. This one, it's d of x squared plus d of 1. A constant has differential 0. We know this one, special case of the power rule, 2x dx. Okay? So if you put all that work together, you can factor out, there's going to be a dx factor here, and a dx factor here. You can factor it all out. Okay. That 2 minus 1 is 1 here. Factor out the dx. Okay. 3 minus 1 is 2. And, oops, I forgot my, there's a 2x here. 2x. And that would be the answer. So even a really complicated polynomial You can handle it using constant multiple rules, power rules, product rules, sum rules, constant rule, even something complicated. Okay? It can be done. All right, so.
What would I like you to try now? Okay, take my life in my own hands here. Okay. Okay. This is your day two homework. Okay? Find dy. So I want something times a dx, okay? Right? Factor out the dx's, right? Okay. And then I want you to approximate. Square root of, let's see, what should we pick here? Okay, let's just say, with x equal to 8 and delta x equal to dx equals 0.003. I want you to compute delta y, dy, right, and that error fraction. So you should be able to just methodically apply all these rules, and in the end, these numbers will give you a check to see if you're on the right path, right? Right? If you get a bad approximation, you made a mistake somewhere. Right? Any final questions? Yes, sir. Sorry, say that again. It's not good for a while. This is day two. I think it's like day seven that there's a batch of homework due. It's like February 9th.
Check the syllabus. No, sorry, take that back. Day six, February 9th, day six. The first 4 days homework is all due in a big batch. February 9th, day six. Yeah.